thank you so much for joining us on this NewAgeInsiders.com exclusive.
Oh, it's the internet.
You know that one of the biggest goals we have here at the New Age Insiders, we talk about it all the time, is bringing the world of pro wrestling to you, whether it be big time names, performers, people within the industry, referees, ring announcers. We've had people like Justin Roberts and Bill Goldberg. We've had local talent that's on the rise. And we also love it when we get an opportunity to talk to people that manage, run, and found in some situations wrestling promotions unto themselves. And one of truly the most well-known wrestling promotions in the country is Chikara. And so when we get an opportunity to talk to the founder of Chikara, Mike Quackenbush, we take that opportunity, and we're so excited to have him join the New Age Insiders now. Mike, thank you so much for giving us a call. We are really looking forward to talking about all the things you have coming up, your book, and thanks so much for giving us a shout, man.
Guys, thank you so much for having me on, and I hope this does not disqualify me from being on the program today, but I am not that big of a fan of New Age music.
Oh, no. Okay.
I've got like one Enya album, and I could probably name like a Vangelis track, but I'm not going to have the inside knowledge into New Age music that I know you guys probably just talk about week in and week out. It's a giant genre, so you'll have to school me a bit, New Age Insiders.
Yeah, well,
Well, we're going to have to pack this up then.
Yeah, well, it was nice while it lasted. First of all, I am truly relieved that you used the word music, because as you were saying, I just got to let you know I'm not a big fan of the New Age. And I was like, if you say Insiders, it's like, Mike, why? You called us. So I'm psyched that the word music came out of your mouth. And so we do two things here. You're right. It's not about pro wrestling. It's about either New Age music or infants. Do you have information about like new moms and, yeah, you know, when you bring home, maybe if you bring home a puppy, just really anything when it's in its adolescent,
brand new, yeah,
it's in its adolescent stage of life.
But not the band Brand New, because no, they're not New Age.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. They use an ampersand as their logo, which is modern unto itself.
It is.
Right. All right, everybody. Well, that was owner and founder of Chikara Wrestling, Mike Quackenbush.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Mike.
It was everything I had imagined and more.
Yeah, good. We've been planning this for a while now, and so when we hear that it lives up to expectations, we're going to ask you at the end of this, and you know, please be honest, we're going to ask you the same thing that we've asked people like Bill Goldberg and Mick Foley and Jim Ross, and we're just going to ask you at the end of this, did it suck? And you're just going to be honest and let us know whether or not this experience was good for you. My first question to you is, and I see that you guys have clan feuds coming up in Philadelphia this Saturday, so you're putting on another big show, and Chikara is really known for its pageantry and maybe not taking itself super seriously, I think would be a proper turn of phrase for the promotion. But as you've seen, I think we've all seen as wrestling fans over the last 10 years, certainly in the last 5 years, I think the landscape of independent wrestling has changed entirely. People's expectations, I think, are a lot different and a lot higher. The caliber of star I think people expect to see is a lot different and a lot higher. I think 15 years ago, indie wrestling was a goofy good time with your friends that was an alternative to Raw or something if it was a Friday night. And now I think there's a lot of people out there that prefer independent wrestling. So whether it be Chikara specifically or just the landscape that you're such a big part of, how have you seen independent wrestling change over the years, and what is Chikara doing to kind of keep up with those trends?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. People's expectations for independent pro wrestling have changed dramatically, and probably most dramatically so Chikara is 16 years old, but I think that time frame that you referenced there, roughly give or take the last 15 years, is that period of time when not only have we seen the rise of Chikara, Ring of Honor, the TNA, Impact Wrestling, Global Force, what is it called this week, and PWG, and Beyond Wrestling, and, you know, in recent years, right, we've seen Lucha Underground. There's a greater awareness of independent wrestling. So not that the internet was brand new in 2002, but independent wrestling started to become a little more viable around then. And a lot of different players all played some tiny role in making that happen. Things kind of, you know, they never really exploded, but they grew incrementally. You know, Ring of Honor would move the ball forward just a little bit. Somebody else would come along and move the ball just a little bit. And I think this became possible. The whole reason we were able to do this was because of the 2001 that pro wrestling had. And I'm referring specifically to WWE consuming number one, as chief commercial competitor in WCW, but also arguably the most influential wrestling organization of the last 25 years, ECW. I don't think there's any group whose lasting influence over professional wrestling, there's nobody that rivals ECW. And in the vacuum that that created, all kinds of new things started to pop out. They started to populate the independents, and it became possible to deliver really unique, sometimes wacky or bizarre flavors and takes on wrestling that otherwise really never would have, you know, they wouldn't have lasted past a single live event. You know, it would have been like a novelty song in the 80s, right? It would have had like the sort of lifespan that like Pac-Man Fever had in, what was that, 1982, whenever that was a novelty hit on radio.
It's a good song. It's a good song, man. It's a good song.
Have you ever heard the rest of that album? You know, they're all video game songs on that album.
No, I'm not going to pretend I heard the B tracks and the deep cuts from Pac-Man Fever. I'm not even going to lie to you, Mike. I wish I could play along and pretend, but I am not that witty to be able to make up that many Pac-Man jokes. Just maybe I could if you gave me enough time. But
popping them cherries.
Yeah. I mean, that would be wildly inappropriate. Yes, and it's gonna be the death of us. We'll turn into ghosts. But Mike, what is Chikara doing specifically to keep up with this? Because you said, you know, different flavors, and haha, no pun intended. But you know, you guys are known. You know, I was been to a Chikara event where, you know, there's one of your wrestlers is an ice cream cone. You know what I mean? And it's like I said earlier, it's a promotion that doesn't take itself too seriously. When was that decision made that you were going to be kind of a fun, almost this
American Lucha Libre promotion?
Exactly. And do you see, you know, yourself and your promotion making any adaptations as, you know, as we talked about, the world around you is kind of changing and molding around you?
Mm-hmm. I am disappointed this did not turn into a more expansive discussion of the Ballad of Q-Bert. But if we have to talk about pro wrestling instead of video game novelty tunes, we will. And on that note, Chikara is born in the dying days of the Attitude Era, when the mainstream wrestling product put out by the WWE is still edgier. You know, they had done things like having a woman flash her bare breasts on television. They were pushing the language barrier, you know, the envelope of language out there a bit. And so at the time that Chikara was forming and needed to kind of differentiate itself from other things in the market space, it was important to not be that. However, over the last 16 years, the WWE has dramatically changed the flavor of wrestling that it makes. We're long past the dying days of the Attitude Era. That seems like a distant past.
Sure.
The era of John Cena, as it's, you know, transitioning and fits and starts into the era of Roman Reigns, question mark. It's a very different WWE that we see out there. And a lot of the things that made us seem like a viable alternative to them in 2002, those points no longer contrast against the WWE as powerfully as they once did. I do think that it's important that we not take ourselves too seriously, that we acknowledge the fact that modern fans understand pro wrestling as performance art. There is not a single fan attending a wrestling event anywhere that goes there under the misimpression that they are seeing legitimate competition. And then that kind of gives us the opportunity. You could look at that as a handicap. We often hear these like old school traditionalists railing against that, right? The irrevocable damage of the internet, and things were so much better before they were exposed. I don't know, maybe, but you know what? We're not going back there. So you better embrace where the art form is going and ride that for all it's worth, because it gives us the opportunity now to tell more fantastic stories. We can bring elements of science fiction, fantasy, and other genres in, like Lucha Underground does. In many ways, they do some of the same things we would be doing at Chikara if we had like $1 million an episode or whatever they get.
Yeah.
You can push the envelope in different ways without being crass or without being R-rated. And I think something that we've really dialed into in the last 2 years has been, can we tell stories that are really rooted in the kinds of emotions that wrestling does not often explore? Wrestling storytelling often tends to engage the same set of emotions, right? Like, I'm angry. I'm seeking revenge. I've been betrayed and I'm scorned. Those types, that feeling set always comes up time and time again. So just one example right now that's happening at Chikara and flows right into Saturday's clan feuds. It's colored this entire season of Chikara, has been one of our chief protagonists, Fire Ant, struggling to cope with the grief of having lost the fellow ants that used to make up a group called The Colony at Chikara. So what is it to watch a character that you love enduring grief that they're failing to cope with? Even though our characters are very colorful, they're larger than life. Sometimes they are characterized as feeling comic booky. And certainly as a comic book fan for my whole life, I see that as a compliment. I think it's important that we always ground them in real emotions that people do experience. And it's most interesting when we can explore emotions that wrestling otherwise tends to ignore in its storytelling.
Now, one of the things that I've always loved about Chikara is the way that you guys have kind of been ahead of the curve in embracing the internet and kind of embracing the way that people consume the content. You just said it. You said the term season. Your promotion functions as a television program that, as much as we want to, sometimes WWE doesn't book from year to year, and we put WrestleMania on this pedestal to be this season finale, where you guys seem to be ahead of the curve and actually plan this thing out what seems like almost a year in advance. Was that something that was by design from the inception of the promotion?
Absolutely not. In the very beginning, it was a matter of throwing everything against the wall to see what would stick. And a lot of months where, are we going to pay the rent? So we really, in the first 2 years, struggled to find our identity. We did not, if you came to a Chikara event, although it had a flavor to it, if you were looking for what I think of as authentic voice, I don't know that we were ready to sing in our authentic voice. But I was inspired a lot by the types of media that I took in, whether it was long-form storytelling in comics and graphic novels or television series like Lost or Rubicon or others that seemed to really plan very meticulously where they wanted to go and then always aimed at that point on the horizon. If you look back at some of our more ambitious projects, you even get the sense, right, like some of them were planned years in advance because the tendency on the top level, right, and by that, of course, I'm referring to WWE, or for a while that was also WCW, or for a while we imagined that maybe the number two was TNA, there was a tendency to feel like, man, do even the people writing this know where they're going a month from now? Because what happened a week ago on Raw has been negated this Monday, and we know none of it's going to matter by the pay-per-view on Sunday. Something about that as a continuity freak, that really irritates me.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when I read a gaffe like that in Detective Comics, I'm like, no, that's not what Nightwing is doing. Who's writing this? So I felt like, one, embracing long-form storytelling allows us to inhabit a space no one else in pro wrestling seems to want to go to. And it also just kind of speaks to one of our understated strengths, which, to be plain about it, is Chikara has had one writer for all 19 seasons. Whereas, you know, the WWE's writing crew, they burn out so fast having to create 10 or 12 hours of original television programming every single week, and they're on call 24/7 at the whims of a septuagenarian who seems a little out of his mind. You can imagine you burn out in that job quickly, rotate out, and then before you know it, a fresh new writer who has no clue what's going on is sitting in that chair and deciding, well, I guess this is what Chris Jericho says this week.
Mike, your vocabulary is outstanding.
Yes, and that is the best way to describe WWE storytelling. But to kind of continue on the point of Chikara being kind of ahead of the curve, you know, we're currently living in what people are saying the women's revolution or the women's evolution. And I'm going to take you all the way back to 2015.
What? It was a simpler time.
It was a simpler time. But I remember that you were one of the first promotions to believe enough to put your top title on a woman. What was that decision make? What was making that decision like by putting the Chikara Grand Championship on Kimberly?
Well, you know, it was back in season two that we abolished division by gender. So we've had our sort of equal rights, equal fights mantra since 2003. And I would wager to say, if not for the fact that she left Chikara to join the WWE's coaching staff at the Performance Center, it's quite likely that Sara Del Rey would have held the Chikara Grand Championship years before Princess Kimberly. In my mind, and I want to put this as, I don't want to say politically correct, but as sincerely and genuinely as I can, in that between bells, I think there are no genders. They're just wrestlers. And right. It's irrelevant what's between your legs. Can I tell a story with this character? And can that performer bring it to life? It's just a matter of finding the right person the right vessel to embody that story and take it. And we found that in Princess Kimberly. So there was never any sort of debate about, like, could we do this with a woman? You know, like, there was no such dialogue about that.
The strategy is basically, if you don't draw attention to the fact it's intergender, it will stop being the main aspect of the story.
Yes, and, you know, something that's intriguing about that, I've done a lot in the last year. I did a newspaper interview two, three months ago about this, where they were saying, you know, well, don't you feel like intergender wrestling, promoting that, is in some way, shape, or form endorsing domestic abuse? And when I've been called out about that on Medium, my response is always the same about it. That seems to overlook this simple fact. No victim of domestic abuse is a willing participant.
Yeah, yeah.
All
right.
Participants in intergender wrestling are willing. They're willing participants in it.
Right.
It's only a thing if you choose to make it a thing.
Yep.
And I've never had any competitor, male or female, who said something about it like, you know, I'm unwilling to do this. And then I said, well, too bad. You got to do it. It's the job.
Right.
You know, so I feel like it's really only a talking point if you want to make it a talking point. It's sort of like, hey, why do comedians keep asking if women are really funny? I think because somebody keeps asking. That's why.
Sure.
Not because here's all these examples.
Sure. If you look at somebody like Jordan Grace, she'll openly tell you I think she prefers to wrestle the men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're not stepping on Jordan Grace's toes when you book her against David Starr. You know what I mean? Like, she's
right.
Happy to be there. You know what I mean? Mike, when we've talked to, whether it be personnel or workers at Ring of Honor, they've told us that the number one goal of the promotion is to provide the best pro wrestling on the planet, right? If you talk to WWE personnel and workers, they tell you that their job is to put smiles on faces. What is Chikara's main objective? If I've never been to a Chikara pro wrestling show and I buy a ticket, what are you trying to do the most for me as a attendee?
I believe wrestling should be fun, and that's why we make it for everyone. It should not be just for this demographic or just for this age group. I want to make it as acceptable as possible so that if you brought your kids to a pro wrestling card that I'm responsible for, you would not be embarrassed by the content. Or if your grandmother grew up loving professional wrestling, if you brought her, you wouldn't be embarrassed to be sitting next to her at a Chikara event either. I think there is something to be said for the community around professional wrestling. And when you get that mixture just right, it's magical. And we work really, really hard to try and make it right. Because no doubt, everything out there could have an avenue of its fandom described as toxic. And yet we want to make it as clear as possible. Our mission here is for this to be fun. And we need everybody to be on board with that mission, because it only really ever takes that one rotten apple to spoil the bunch.
Mike, you've got a book coming out. It's called Seven Keys to Becoming a Better Performer. Actually, Mike, you got a book coming out. It's called Seven Keys to Becoming a Better Performer. It's a book for fellow pro wrestlers. It is available now. What inspired you to write this particular book? I know it's not your first. And so what inspired you, like I said, to write this particular book? What can fans look forward to in the book? And now is your chance to sell some books, Mike.
Well, thank you. Two things inspired me. One, all the people in my personal life who are near and dear to me all happen to be away for the same week. And I thought, what am I going to do with this week?
It's like a Stephen King novel.
Because there's a lot in my Netflix queue. Or maybe I should write, because I used to write rather prolifically. There's probably well over 500 published magazine articles to my credit, from Pro Wrestling Illustrated to The Wrestler to Inside Wrestling, etc. And Seven Keys to Becoming a Better Performer is my eighth book. But because a lot of the writing I have done in recent years is not meant for, like, the printed word necessarily, it's used for other purposes, it felt like this might be something for me to do, and also to kind of address the things that come up when I teach seminars. What are the things and the topics I'm being asked about most by the current generation of independent pro wrestlers? Because many of them are getting fantastic training when it comes to the mechanical elements of wrestling. Here's how you get out of a full Nelson. Here's how you put on an octopus hold. But there are all these performative skills that are being underdeveloped by the current generation of independent wrestlers. And I get asked about those topics ad nauseum when I teach. And I thought, maybe what I can do is, because I'm never going to get out and teach everybody, I get way more offers than I ever accept. Over the years, this is my 25th year in professional wrestling, I've gotten tired of like having a very heavy travel schedule. So in many ways, Seven Keys to Becoming a Better Performer is my effort to answer a lot of the most common questions I'm asked by aspiring, nascent, and forming pro wrestlers and put it out there in a permanent form. Because if they say, hey, do you want to come to Tulsa, Oklahoma and teach? You know, maybe I don't, but let me send you this link to Amazon.com where my new book is waiting for you. And then I've solved my travel problem.
I mean, that's the best way to solve that travel problem.
Mike, I've been fortunate enough to see Chikara live before. It's a really fun, unique experience. The performers are there to get the crowd up and going and to, I think, and I mean this sincerely, kind of make you remember why you love pro wrestling in the first place, because it is such a silly thing, you know what I mean? And when mm-hmm. I was growing up, you know, looking back, you know, the Ultimate Warrior was just, you know, and Hulk yeah. Hogan, everything was over the top and very silly. And so Chikara, I think, in a way that still sucks you into the show and the performances, is a really fun time and really kind of at the root of what pro wrestling is all about. And this Saturday in Philadelphia, there's Clan Wars or Clan Feuds. What can fans look forward to specifically? Who are the big matches that you're looking forward to? And why should fans come on down and check out ChikaraPro.com for Clan Feuds coming up on Saturday?
Well, Clan Feuds is our crossover event with Beyond Wrestling, and we have a best of five series. So we're putting up some of Chikara's finest against some of Beyond Wrestling's finest in this best of five series. And there's other matches on the card as well, but a lot of the emphasis of Clan Feuds, of course, is on Chikara versus Beyond Wrestling. So I would say one of them I'm most looking forward to is Solo Darling against Deonna Purrazzo. This looks to be maybe Deonna's final independent wrestling match before she leaves for greener pastures. Mm-hmm. And Solo Darling is the most improved wrestler on our roster this year. So I'm very, very much looking forward to that. But there's a lot to look forward to at Clan Feuds. If you're jumping onto our events page and checking out what's in store for season 19, I'll give you this little bit of insider information. You may know our events are often themed after some of our favorite pop culture phenomena. This year, we're paying a lot of tribute to the Goosebumps novel series. You'll see that running through some of the titles and some of the imagery.
Awesome.
But some of our special events like Clan Feuds, both in title and in aesthetic, are borrowed from Shaw Brothers Kung Fu films from the 70s.
Wow.
So if you like your weird esoteric pop culture trivia, or you like high-energy, super fun wrestling events that won't put you to sleep like Mannheim Steamroller, Yanni, or other great New Age artists, come on down to the Wrestle Factory on Wingate Street in Philadelphia. We're there every other week. We run bi-weekly events right out of the Wrestle Factory. Or if you can't join us, live stream them. We're as close as the device in your pocket. Chikaratopia.com is our Netflixy-like service. The first week of streaming is on the house.
Mike, despite your total burial of New Age music to the point that now NAI music is just defunct.
Never going to happen.
It's defunct. We're not even going to get it off the ground. It's been great talking to you. We could talk to about you, to you, about pro. We could talk about you, too. Off the air, we're going to.
You can when I'm gone.
There you go.
Guys, you can say whatever you want.
You're gonna we're going to hang up, and you're not going to know what we say. No, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah.
We could talk wrestling with you all day long. Chikara sincerely is a promotion worth checking out. I think it would almost be impossible for you to go to a Chikara show and not have a blast. This Saturday in Philadelphia, you can see Clan Feuds. You can go to ChikaraPro.com. There's all sorts of fun stuff, some great people. Looking up and down the roster, there's some people that we know who are just fantastic people and performers. Mike Quackenbush, thank you so much for joining the New Age Insiders. You're welcome here anytime. If you got something to push, promote, a new book, a record-breaking ninth book. And by record-breaking, that means I have never written a book. So you've smashed my record. You're welcome here anytime. Thanks so much for joining us.
Guys, thank you very much.